Katra Foundation presents the Katra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into Lab Girl by Hope Yaron. And this book, it's special. It's part memoir, part nature writing, all woven together.
It really is. A unique blend.
Exactly. Yeah. And our mission today, what we really want to explore is this question. What's it really like to be a scientist, you know, behind the scenes?
Yeah, forget the stereotype of the white coat and sterile lab for a minute.
Right. We want to find the grit, the passion, the human story that drives that search for knowledge.
And Hope Yaron is the perfect guide for that. I mean, she's not just telling stories. She lived it. She's an acclaimed American geobiologist, a professor. Her work on ancient climates using stable isotopes. Groundbreaking stuff.
So serious scientific credentials.
Oh, absolutely. PhD from Berkeley. Top positions at places like Georgia Tech, University of Oslo, multiple Fulbrights, the list goes on. But what makes Lab Girl hit so hard is how she combines that, you know, rigorous mind with this beautiful lyrical writing.
And honesty, right? You mentioned honesty.
Unflinching honesty. That's why her story feels so relevant now. It sort of pulls back the curtain on science, makes a human. She tackles tough stuff too. Challenges for women in STEM, mental health, and academia. Things people didn't talk about much.
Mm-hmm.
And she draws these amazing parallels between us, humans, and plants. Their struggles, their growth. It's profound. So for you listening, it's like a shortcut to understanding the dedication, the sacrifice, the sheer humanity behind scientific discovery.
That really paints a picture.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned her background laid her roots. Let's talk about that childhood, that time in her father's physics lab. Was it really that different from how other scientists maybe get their start?
Well, yeah, I think so. Growing up in rural Minnesota, daughter of a science teacher sounds kind of idyllic for a future scientist, right?
You'd think so.
But she describes this quiet, kind of solitary childhood and her safe space, her sanctuary. It wasn't like a treehouse. It was her dad's community college physics lab.
Okay.
And she wasn't just looking. She was in there hours and hours, learning patience, how to observe things really closely, getting comfortable with all the equipment. She learned she could sort of create her own world there.
Like a sense of control.
Exactly. Control and wonder. It wasn't just learning facts. It was this deep, almost physical connection to the process, to the place of science. That early immersion, that feeling of the lab being home, that really set the foundation. Those were the roots.
It sounds like that lab was almost a secret garden she nurtured. But then moving into academia, well, those roots had to push through some seriously tough ground, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Anything but easy. She goes through undergrad at University of Minnesota, then PhD at Berkeley. And Berkeley's where something huge happens.
Okay.
She meets Bill Hagopian. He's this eccentric, super smart undergrad, maybe seem like an oddball to some, but he becomes her, well, her everything in the lab, her professional partner, her anchor, her lifelong friend. This relationship with Bill, it's honestly central to the whole story.
Wow. So she gets the PhD. Does life get easier then, doors opening?
You'd think, right. But no, far from it. She gets a professorship at Georgia Tech, her germination moment, she calls it, but she walks into basically nothing.
Nothing. Like no lab.
Pretty much. A rundown, totally unfunded space. Imagine starting your big academic career like that. And this is where Bill is just indispensable. They worked insane hours.
Right.
Scrounging for equipment, like literally dumpster diving sometimes, fixing broken stuff, improvising constantly. They were often broke, writing grant proposal after grant proposal, mostly getting rejected, just trying to keep the lights on.
That's incredible pressure.
It's the academic grind she talks about.
Yeah.
The publisher perish culture, the competition, the constant fear of losing funding. It was a real baptism by fire. It forced her to dig those roots really deep into that harsh academic soil.
Living on the edge, sleeping in the lab. Mm-hmm. That's just intense. And what about her personal life during all this? You mentioned mental health challenges earlier.
Yeah, alongside all that, she was fighting a massive internal battle with bipolar disorder. And right. She writes about it with such raw honesty. These terrifying manic episodes. Huge energy, productivity, yes, but also dangerous impulsiveness.
Uh-huh.
Followed by these crushing depressions where she could barely function. Imagine trying to build a demanding career while navigating that.
Yeah, even.
And again, Bill. He wasn't just fixing machines. He was her rock. protecting her during manic phases, sometimes physically preventing harm, just being there unconditionally through the absolute worst of the depression. He was the constant.
That's extraordinary friendship.
It really is. And during this time, she also meets her future husband, Clint, another scientist. So another important relationship starts to form, adding another layer.
What an incredible story of resilience and just the power of that connection with Bill. So after all that struggle, where does she end up? What's her legacy?
Well, eventually, things do get more stable. More resources come through. She moves to the University of Hawaii and later to the University of Oslo in Norway.
Okay, so international recognition too.
Definitely. She really solidifies her reputation as a top scientist. And importantly, she starts mentoring students, younger scientists drawn to her, you know, her unique, very real approach to doing science.
And motherhood happens too, right?
Yes, and that becomes this huge turning point for her perspective, seeing growth, life cycles, legacy through the lens of being a mother. It connects back beautifully to her work with plants, with nature's fundamental processes.
So looking back, her impact. It's the research, but it's more than that.
Oh, much more. I mean, yes, building three successful labs from nothing is huge. Publishing critical research, mentoring students, that's a major legacy. But maybe the biggest thing, especially for listeners like you, is how she just demystified science.
Yeah, she made it feel real.
Exactly. Tore down that ivory tower image, showed it as hard work, messy work, driven by curiosity and sheer grit, not some detached genius thing. She made it relatable, showed its human heart. And that fosters this deeper connection, I think, to the natural world she loves. And her story with Bill is just this powerful example of collaboration and resilience against all odds.
Her journey, all those challenges and successes, it clearly shaped more than just her career. It shaped her whole philosophy, didn't it?
Fundamentally, Hope Yaren basically says science isn't this cold, objective thing we sometimes imagine. No, it's deeply human. It's messy. It's passionate. It's driven by this intense love for figuring things out.
A love for the work itself.
Yes, this profound, almost childlike curiosity about how the world works, finding joy in discovery, even the small ones. And her view on life, it mirrors her science. She sees life, human, plant, whatever, as this constant, fierce struggle for resources, for space, for growth.
Like a plant pushing through soil.
Precisely. Resilience is universal in her eyes. Whether you're a tree reaching for light or a scientist fighting for funding, it's the same fundamental drive.
That changes how you think about success and failure, doesn't it?
Completely. For her, success isn't about those lightning bolt eureka moments. It's about showing up day after day, perseverance, grit. She has that great line, something like, being wrong is the first step in getting somewhat less wrong.
I like that. It's okay to be wrong.
It's necessary to be wrong. It's part of the process. And she talks about her work as a prayer for the future, this act of faith, this sustained effort, even when you don't know the outcome. Mm-hmm. Her purpose, it feels like it's about adding to knowledge, sparking wonder about nature, making science open to everyone, and just living authentically, even with her own struggle.
And her values clearly reflect that.
Absolutely. Intellectual honesty,
yeah.
Humility, deep curiosity, the power of collaboration and loyalty. I mean, Bill is the ultimate example of that. And just this profound sense of connection between all living things.
Okay, so much packed into one life.
Yeah.
If we had to pinpoint the moments that really changed everything for her, the critical turning points, what would they be? Let's try to identify three.
All right. Number one, without a doubt, has to be meeting Bill Hagopian. It wasn't some formal thing at Berkeley, just this, you know, almost accidental meeting with this unique undergrad.
Right.
He becomes her lab assistant. Okay. But then he follows her across the country to different universities. That level of commitment is rare.
Really rare.
And that partnership becomes the absolute bedrock of her career. Bill wasn't just good with his hands, though. He was apparently a genius at building and fixing equipment when they had zero money. He was her emotional anchor through the poverty, through the bipolar episodes. He was the constant. It fundamentally changed her ability to even have a lab, let alone succeed. It just shows, you know, that breakthroughs often come from these deep, maybe unconventional, loyal partnerships, not just lone geniuses.
And that loyalty is just astounding. Yeah. Okay, what's number two?
Number two, I'd say, is building that first lab from scratch at Georgia Tech. Remember, she arrives, new professor, gets handed this dilapidated, empty space, no money.
Yeah, the germination in harsh soil.
Exactly. It was this massive test of will. She and Bill literally scavenging for parts, working themselves to the bone, sleeping in the lab, writing endless grants. It was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But that struggle, that period of making something from absolutely nothing, it cemented her view of science as, like, a blue-collar job. It takes physical work, ingenuity, pure grit. It wasn't about fancy equipment. It was about sheer determination and that partnership. It forged her resilience, proved she could overcome just about anything.
Okay, meeting Bill, building the first lab, what's the third turning point? It feels like it has to involve her personal struggle.
It does. Number three is confronting and managing her bipolar disorder, and specifically her decision to be so open about it in the book.
That took immense courage.
Absolutely. She details the reality of it, the highs, the lows, the impact on her life and work with such raw power. Living with that, alongside the intense pressures of academia, it's hard to fathom. And again, Bill's presence was vital. He was her protector, her support system. Her journey towards diagnosis and like finding ways to manage the condition wasn't just about survival. It transformed her understanding of herself, her limits, her strength.
And it humanized her completely.
Totally. It showed that incredible scientific minds can also grapple with profound personal challenges. It makes her story incredibly relatable and, frankly, inspiring for anyone facing their own battles, whatever they may be.
Her life really does offer so many lessons. When you step back, what are the big human takeaways from Hope Yearn's story that resonate today?
Well, first and foremost, it's a masterclass in the power of resilience. You know, that image of a seed pushing through concrete, that's her. Her story just screams that passion and grit can get you through almost anything. Lack of money, competition, mental health struggles, bias. It kind of normalizes struggle, doesn't it? Makes you realize it's part of any big journey.
Yeah, it's not a sign of failure. It's part of the process. Like being wrong in science.
Exactly. And maybe it makes you, the listener, think about your own tough times, how that drive, that refusal to quit, can make the difference.
And what about the relationships, Bill, obviously?
Right. That leads straight to the value of deep collaboration. Their relationship was so unique, so symbiotic, it just hammers home that great things are often built on these incredibly strong, maybe unconventional partnerships. It's a reminder to invest in those loyal connections professionally and personally. They can be your superpower.
She also, as you said, really pulled back the curtain on science itself.
Yeah. Demystifying science is huge. She shows it's not clean and easy. It's hard physical work. It's chasing funding. It's failing and trying again. That builds empathy, I think, for scientists and the work they do.
Uh-huh.
But also, despite all the hardship, her pure joy and purpose in the work just shines through, that love of discovery, that curiosity. It reminds us that if you find work aligned with your passion, it can be this incredible source of meaning, even when it's tough.
And her perspective on nature.
That's the last big one, a new perspective on nature.
Yeah.
She forces us to see plants not just as background scenery, but as active, complex beings fighting for life, communicating in their own ways. It encourages a deeper wonder, maybe more environmental awareness, just by looking closer at the green world around us.
It really does make you pause and think, which leads to that question for you listening right now. How might you look at the world, maybe your own challenges, your own roots, a bit differently after hearing her story? Okay, so let's wrap this up. Let's distill this deep dive into Hope Yearn's incredible life down into three core takeaways for you. First, an emotional insight. Real breakthroughs, whether in a lab or in life, they aren't usually solo efforts. They often spring from this powerful mix of deep passion, stubborn perseverance, and truly genuine human connection, that rock-solid partnership. Maybe your biggest successes will also be fueled by your strongest relationships.
Second, an intellectual insight. Science isn't some sterile, purely objective pursuit. It's messy, it's human, it's driven by intense curiosity and the resilience to keep going. Mm. And importantly, the natural world, especially plants, holds this incredible complexity and drama we often miss. It invites you to look closer.
And finally, a universal insight. Growth. Real growth. Achieving something meaningful, it requires digging deep roots of commitment. It needs the resilience to get through the hard times, the waiting, the setbacks. And it takes courage to take those big risks, you know, like a tiny seed daring to become a tree.
Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.